You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. On this podcast, the focus is on answering listener questions. And if you have a question for a future episode, I'll let you know how you can submit that once we get to the end. Today, we're going to be answering a question about divine revelation, specifically about visions, and whether Christians receive these type of messages from God through visions today. It's an important question that we understand the answer to this from what the scriptures teach. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Do Christians receive visions from God today? When we look to the Bible, we see that God has revealed his will in many different ways to man throughout history. And through visions is one way that God has made his will known to man. One example, and this was the one that was cited by the question when it was submitted, that the one who asked the question asked if Christians receive visions today like Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph received visions. He had dreams, and the dreams were given to him, and he would tell his brothers about his dreams that would really be portraying him being elevated above his brothers bowing down before him. And his brothers didn't like that. It was one of the reasons why they resented him and eventually turned against him. But we have in the Old Testament, Joseph and others as well, receiving these types of messages from God through visions or through dreams. When we get to the New Testament, we see the same type of thing happening. We have Peter, when he was being called to go to the household of Cornelius, prior to that happening, he received the same vision three times from God of a sheet coming down out of heaven, and on that sheet were all sorts of animals that were common or unclean, and he was told to arise and kill and eat and say, I can't eat any of these animals. I've never eaten anything that was unclean. And God told him, what I have cleansed, do not call common or call unclean. And the point, as Peter later realized what the point was, God was telling him that the gospel is not just for the Jews, the gospel is also for the Gentiles. And so he went to the household of Cornelius, preached the gospel to them, and you have the first Gentile converts that are recorded in the book of Acts. You have in Acts chapter 16 with Paul, he received a vision of a man from Macedonia asking him to come over and help them. Well, and he understood that this was a vision from God and a sign that they should go to Macedonia to preach the gospel. There are also others who were not apostles who receive visions. Ananias was told in a vision by the Lord to go to Saul as he had gotten to Damascus and tell him what he needed to do, what the Lord required of him. But this was revealed to him in a vision. Now, we have these examples in the Old and New Testament of people receiving visions from God. They are receiving messages from God about what they were to do, where they were to go, about different truths as Peter was learning about the truth of who the gospel was for. You have all of these different messages from God that are revealed through visions. Well, did that mean that everyone who said they had a message from God was really giving a message that they received from God? Were all of these visions from the Lord? And Paul explained in Colossians chapter 2 that not everyone who says that I have a vision that they were saying was from God, not everyone who said that really received that from God. Over in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions that he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. There were people taking their stand saying, I have seen this in a vision. I have received this vision. Well, he would go on to say that they're not holding fast to Christ. They're not faithful to him. They're not standing for the truth. So you have people who are saying that, well, I've had this vision, but Paul says they're not leading you in the way of truth. They're not representing Christ. They did not receive that from God. So we need to understand that just because someone claims that they have received a vision from God does not mean that God gave them that vision. And this is not just about motives. You can have people who are corrupt and are trying to deceive, but you can also have people who sincerely think that whatever it is that they dreamed or whatever it is that they saw, well, that must be God telling me something. That must be something from God, and I need to let others know what God has told me through this vision. There are warnings there in that passage that just because someone says they've received a vision does not mean they are giving a message from Christ. And so really this is part of a broader question. And the question about visions is one part of this question. Is divine revelation ongoing today? Because visions were just one way that God made his will known. He revealed his will. There are many different ways that he did that. The visions were just one way. And so we need to understand this point to really be able to answer the question, do Christians receive visions from God today? Now, there's an article on the Plain Bible Teaching website that I wrote a few years ago called Is Divine Revelation Ongoing Today? That article goes into more detail what we're going to be talking about here. We're just going to hit some highlights here. And so I'll have the link to the article down in the show notes so you can read through that and get a little bit more information and other passages that beyond what we're going to talk about here. But as we think about this question, well, is divine revelation ongoing today? We need to understand that Jesus is the spokesman for the new covenant. The Hebrew writer began his letter by explaining that God beforehand, he revealed his will in many portions and many ways to the fathers and the prophets, but now he has spoken to us through Christ. Now, Jesus is the one who is the official spokesman of the new covenant. The law comes from him. The word of God comes through him, as he is described in John 1, as the word. And then the apostles, Jesus' apostles, they were his ambassadors. An ambassador is an official spokesman for a government, for a king. And they are speaking not on their own authority, but with authority from the whatever state, whatever government that they are representing. In the case of the apostles, they are representing Christ. And so they are receiving his word by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as John chapters 14 through 16 talk about. They are receiving that message from Christ. They are his official spokesman. So they would receive this message and make it known to others. We also have prophets that revealed the will of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 20 talks about how the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. They were revealing the will of God. So you have the apostles. Now the apostles were a limited group of people. But prophets, well, who were the prophets and how long would the prophets be around? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul explains that this gift of prophecy that would allow people to be able to speak things that come from God, this had a limited time period of when this gift would be around. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 8, Paul said, "Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away." He's talking about these miraculous gifts of the Spirit, where the gift to be able to prophesy, to make known the will of God, that's not going to last forever. The ability to speak in tongues, to make known the will of God to someone who you're conversing with someone or teaching someone who speaks a language that you've never learned before, you'd be able to miraculously teach them in their language. This is a part of revelation or knowledge there. He's talking about the miraculously given knowledge that would come from above. It says, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. These gifts of the Spirit, where they were making known the will of God in bits and pieces, as they were doing this ongoing revelation through the time of the first century that we read about in the New Testament. When the perfect comes, well, what is he talking about? Some people think that this is talking about Christ. So when Christ returns, Then we're not going to have prophets anymore. Then we're not going to have the ability to speak in tongues anymore. Jesus is perfect, but that's not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about revelation. He's talking about making known the will of God. It's being made known right now in bits and pieces. Now, we have it partially. The New Testament was just being written. It was not completed yet. It was not fully given where all of them would be able to have access to the entirety of the will of God. It was being revealed in bits and pieces, in different parts. They would receive this. And so you had individuals who would be able to miraculously make known the complete will of God so that these brethren would have everything that they need in order to please the Lord. Well, when the perfect comes, meaning when God's will is fully revealed, which is what we have at the close of the New Testament, God's will has been fully revealed, the partial is going to be done away with. That was going to fade away. And so this was looking forward to a time when we have the completed will of God that has been revealed. When that time comes, there's not going to be a need for prophets. There's not going to be a need for all of these miraculous gifts of the Spirit. And we have in the Scriptures God's will that has been fully revealed to us. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, "We have everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who has called us." Jude tells us in Jude 3 to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. This word of God that is the source of faith leads to faith in us. It was once for all, one time for all time, handed down to the saints. We have the completed will of God. We don't need to go to any other source. There is no other book. There is no other message that has something that we need in order to please God that is missing from the Bible. We have everything that we need in the Scriptures. His will has been fully revealed. Well, then what about those who claim to receive visions today? Because there are people who claim to receive visions. What about these people who claim to receive visions? Now, there are some who are disingenuous. There are some people who are deceivers and who are just trying, they're liars, they're trying to deceive people. We're not talking about them here. There are others who sincerely think they are receiving messages from God. These visions that they have, these dreams that they have, they think God is telling them something. And so God is telling them something, and then a lot of times they want to tell other people. They want to explain what God showed me, and I want to show it to you. What about those people? What should we understand from the Scriptures about them? Well, one of the things we need to understand, there's no way to prove that it's from God. When you have visions, like with Peter and with Paul and even with Ananias, there were miracles that were associated with that. There was a way to prove that what they received was actually from God. Someone today, say they have a dream and they sincerely believe God was telling them in that dream that they need to go do this or that there is that. This truth has been revealed to them through this dream. How would they prove that that's from God? Well, they talk about how, well, I just feel that this is what God is telling me, that God has laid this on my heart. I just feel that this was from the Holy Spirit, that God was showing this to me. And what proof do they have other than they just feel that this is what this is? There's no way to prove that it is from God. What we can do, though, the only thing we could do, if someone says, well, I received a vision and it was whatever, this it was this, this is what was revealed to me, this is the point of this dream that I had. The only thing we can do, we can't prove it's from God, but what we can do is prove, if it is, prove that it is in harmony with God's will. Now, it may not be, but let's say it's in harmony with the will of God. We could prove, someone says, well, I have seen this, or I had this dream that showed me this. We can see if whatever it is that they're saying, if it's in harmony with the will of God. We have the example of the Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11. They searched the scriptures to see if whether what Paul was telling them was the truth. And if someone receives a vision, say, well, I received this vision and it said this. Well, we can search the scriptures to see if that's true or not. We can see if it's in harmony with the will of God. Over in 1 John chapter 4, John said in verse 1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. How do you test them? Verse 6, We are from God. John and the apostles, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How can we know if someone is saying, well, I've received this vision and it told me this? How can we know if it's true or false? We have to go to what the apostles taught. Where do we find that? We find that in the scriptures. And so if someone receives a vision, there's no way to prove that it's from God. All we can do, if we can do this, is prove that it's in harmony with the will of God. And so if it is in harmony with the will of God, then what we want to make it known to others. We want other people to know that, well, the only way they can be persuaded to believe that, that it is the truth, that it is from God, is not by saying, well, I received this vision and this is what God told me. Who, on what basis would someone accept that and say, well, sure, you must have received a vision. How is that anyone? You might be sincere, but sincerity doesn't prove the truth of a claim that you're making. So how would we prove if someone says they've received a vision and it told them such and such? Well, how can you prove to others that that's the truth? Well, the only way you can do it is by pointing to what the scriptures say. Paul, when he was in Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17, he reasoned from the scriptures and explained and gave evidence why they were to believe what he was teaching. So even the apostle Paul, he didn't say, well, look, I've had these visions and all of this has happened. When he went to Thessalonica, what he did, he went to the scriptures. He showed them from the word of God that what he was saying was true. How much more do we have to do that today? That we have to show from the scriptures, well, this is what is true. So when you have people who say they receive visions, and let's assume the whoever we're talking about, let's assume they're sincere, that they really believe this. Well, one, we can't prove, and they can't prove, that it's from God. Two, it might be in harmony with the will of God. And the only way we can know that is by looking at the scriptures and comparing what they're saying with what the scriptures say. And then we could see if whatever claim they're making is in harmony with the scriptures. And then the only way you could convince anyone that that's the truth is by saying, this is what the Bible says. Not by saying, well, this is what this person over here dreamed. No, you have to go to the scriptures. So when we bring all this to a close, do Christians receive visions from God today? The answer to that, based on what we saw in 1 Corinthians 13, the answer to that is no. Christians do not receive visions from God today. But let's say someone believes that they do. Well, even if we did, there is no way to prove to others that whatever vision we're talking about, that that vision is from God. There is no way to prove that. All we can do is persuade people of God's will and what His truth is and what He has revealed, what He wants us to do. We can only persuade them by appealing to the scriptures. We can't say, well, this is just what I think, this is what I feel, or I had this dream, I had this vision. That won't prove anything to anyone. The only way we can persuade people what the will of God is by showing them what the scriptures teach. And so that's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on what the scriptures teach, not what if we have some dream, well, what was this dream? Now, the scriptures don't teach that that was from God. But even if it was, if you're going to appeal to people, if you're going to try to persuade people of what is true, you need to point them to the scriptures. You need to show them where he has said in his word what is right. And so we need to focus on the scriptures, knowing the will of God for ourselves, and then teaching the will of God to others. And so we don't need to be looking to visions. We don't need to be looking to see, well, you know, what is this dream telling me? What is God trying to show me? We need to pick up the word of God. We need to pick up the Bible and see what he has said in his word and follow that and teach that to others. Well, thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you've thought this episode is helpful, I'd ask you to share this with others, whether it's the audio podcast or now the, as we're doing videos for these now, share the video, whichever you think would be most helpful. I would ask you to share those with others if you thought this was beneficial. If you have a question for a future episode, there are a few different ways you can submit it. You can fill out the podcast submission form, and that is located on the show notes as you visit the show notes that are underneath this video if you're watching the video. Or if you're listening to this, you can go to plainbibleteaching.com/podcast and find either this episode or any other episode, and you'll have a link to that submission form where you can submit your question. You can also send a message to the Plain Bible Teaching Facebook page, and that will be linked on the website as well. Or you can tweet your question at Plain Bible Teach on Twitter, and you can send your question that way. So thank you for listening today. We've got episodes coming up on several different topics. We're going to be talking about the head covering. We're going to be talking about whether we can mark congregations as far as, you know, exercising discipline or things like that. We have questions submitted on that. Other things that have been asked as well, questions that people have submitted. And then if you have a question, submit that and we can try to work that in also and add that to the list. But thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.